The remembrancer cut an unassuming figure. Dressed in plain robes of an obscure Terran style, the survivor sat on the ground with his eyes open and alert. It was only the fact he was surrounded by the bodies of the Army Scout Division sent to locate the node that made his presence in the jungle incongruous. "You are the Primarch of the Salamander's Legion?" he asked.
"I am."
Vulcan approached slowly, bidding his pyre guard to wait outside the circle of the dead army scouts. It was an order that displeased Numion and the others, but they obeyed nonetheless. Vulcan looked around at the massacre. From the position of the bodies and how they'd fallen, it appeared the scouts had made a last stand. He shifted his gaze to peer deeper into the jungle.
"You were followed?"
"From the site of the fourth obelisk, yes."
"And you got as far as this point before the Eldar caught you?"
"Precisely." When Vulcan looked back at the man, who seemed wise but somehow youthful at the same time, his eyes were penetrating.
"How is it they all died and you alone lived?"
"I hid." Vulcan stared at him, trying to ascertain if what the remembrancer was saying was the truth. The man seemed content to sit amongst the dead and hadn't yet moved.
"You don't believe me?"
"I am still deciding," Vulcan answered honestly.
He stepped towards him. Numion's armor shifted before he warned.
"Primarch!"
Vulcan held up his hand to cool his equerry's anxiety. The remembrancer's gaze flicked over to the pyre guard and back again.
"I don't think your bodyguards like me."
Vulcan was standing before him and looked down on the man.
"They just don't trust you."
"That's a pity."
"What is your name, remembrancer?"
"Varas."
"Then come with me, Varas, and tell me all you know about this obelisk."
Vulcan turned, and as he was leaving the site of the massacre, he passed by Numion. The Primarch kept his voice low.
"Watch him closely."
Varas got to his feet and smoothed down his robes. Numion glared at him and nodded. There was something strange about this Varas, but Vulcan wasn't threatened by him. After all, what threat could a flesh-and-blood human pose to a Primarch? But as he was walking back to the Stormbird, Vulcan was reminded of a time when he'd met another stranger, one he'd known as the Outlander. Vulcan knew his grip was failing. Even with his prodigious strength, he knew he couldn't hold on to the edge of the cliff with one hand and still cling to the drake hide with the other indefinitely. It had been a magnificent beast of vermilion scale, thick and gnarled like overlapping shields. The fire drake's ribbed belly was taut with muscle, its jaws wide and powerful. The grumbling mountain had summoned it, and the drake had answered, emerging from its lowest deeps. The spear Vulcan had forged to kill it was lost to the lava chasm below him. Hours of crafting had been undone in an instant when the mountain's blood reclaimed the weapon, just as his life would be undone should he slip. The sun baked his naked back, but the heat of it was ebbing. Steam and smoke clouded Vulcan's eyes, filling his nose with sulfur and ash. Hours had passed since the volcano had erupted and tossed him over the edge. Only his superlative reflexes and strength had saved him, or forestalled his death, at least. Even Vulcan, champion of Hesiod and slayer of Duskwraiths, could be destroyed by lava. After the defeat of the slavers, word had spread quickly around the major townships of Nocturne. Within weeks, the tribal kings of the other six settlements and their emissaries had greeted the leaders of Hesiod and asked to meet the Black Smiter's son, who was rapidly becoming a legend. As he hung precariously on the rocky precipice, Vulcan considered this would be a poor end for such a figure. He slipped and for a moment thought it was over. A sense of falling overtook him, but he reached out to salvage a desperate handhold on a lower crag. Dust and grit fell in a hard rain, beating against his body, but he held on. Though his heart was pounding like a hammer upon an anvil in his chest, he tried not to breathe too deeply. This close to the lava trench, the air was a poisonous miasma, thick with sulphurous alkalis. He could already feel the blistering around his nose and the skin of his throat. An ordinary man would have died long before now. It only enhanced the belief that he was not truly of these people, that Nocturne was not his birth home. Vulcan's father, N'Bel, had said as much to him before the tournament. He had promised to seal the vault below the forge, and did so, but he couldn't suppress the truth. Vulcan had asked him outright before the events began, but the answer hadn't come. N'Bel, stifled by looming grief, couldn't tell him. Perhaps now he never would, and Vulcan would be forever ignorant of his origins. Fingers stiff as stone, his arm burning like all the fires of the forge were ignited in it, Vulcan thought about letting go of the hide. With both hands he could probably clamber up the rock face to safety. The bubbling, cracking refrain of the lava below seemed to urge him, or maybe it was trying to entice him to fall. The last 8 days had taken their toll, though. Vulcan didn't know what strength was left in his limbs. In truth, he could barely feel them anymore and had to constantly fight a strange sense of weightlessness that threatened to loosen his grip unconsciously. "You will not beat me." He spoke the words aloud to galvanize himself. The lava crackled below in what was beginning to sound like rumbling laughter. It baffled reason how the pale-faced stranger had managed to match him through every trial. No one knew where he had come from, though some suspected he hailed from the nomadic tribes of Ignea. Vulcan doubted it. When he'd come into the town, this outlander, as he'd come to be known, was wearing garb unfamiliar to any Nocturnian. From Heliosa to Themis, there were cultural derivations amongst the people of the planet, but they shared common traits. The outlander shared none. His boasts were utterly audacious. Vulcan remembered the derision he'd caused when claiming he could best anyone in the town, even the champion of Hesiod in the tournament. Out of respect, perhaps sheer disbelief, Vulcan had kept a straight face. "Let him enter if he wishes," he'd said privately to N'Bel when questioned. "The fool will either give up or lose his life to the mountain. Let the anvil decide." Considering his current situation, those comments now seemed remarkably short-sighted. Below him, the river of molten rock beckoned and thrust Vulcan back to his potentially fatal present. How could he fail? What would his people think of him if this pallid outsider beat him? Vulcan clung to the drake hide by its long tail. As it drifted in the hot vapors emanating from the lava trench, he knew he had to sacrifice his pride for the sake of his life. He was about to loosen his grip when he heard a cry from across the craggy mountain summit. "Vulcan!" Peering through a thickening belt of smoke, Vulcan saw the hazy outline of the stranger in the distance. The outlander was bounding over the rocks towards him. Over his shoulder was the largest drake hide Vulcan had ever seen. He blinked back, the stinging sensation in his eyes, trying to be sure it wasn't just a mirage caused by exhaustion and the sulphurous air. The hide in Vulcan's defiant grasp was huge, but this was massive. It easily eclipsed that of the Nocturnian, and suddenly Vulcan's pride felt all the cheaper because of it. Moving swiftly, the outlander hoisted the immense pelt from his back and cast it into a vast lava pool that stood between him and the rocky outcrop where Vulcan was clinging on. Bridging the bubbling morass with the hide, the outlander leapt across and landed on the other side. Rushing to the edge of the precipice, he thrust his hand down and seized Vulcan's wrist. "Hold on." In a feat of incredible strength, the stranger lifted Vulcan to safety, Drake hide and all. Exhausted, they lay upon the barren rock for a time before the outlander rose and helped Vulcan to his feet. In the distance, the lava pool had claimed the outlander's mighty prize.
"We can't go back that way," he said, with no hint of remorse.
Vulcan clapped the outlander's shoulder, feeling some of his strength returning.
"You saved my life.
If you hadn't clung on as long as you did, I might not have been afforded the opportunity to do so."
Vulcan looked to the lava pool where the last remnants of the drake hide were gradually being consumed.
"You could have returned to the town as champion."
"At the cost of my opponent's life? What kind of hollow victory would that have been?"
Swollen flakes of ash were clouding the air, and the breeze brought with it the stench of burning. It promised fire to come.
"The mountain is not yet done," Vulcan said. "It may erupt again. We should go back to Hesiod."
The outlander nodded, and the two of them began the long climb back down the mountain. Celebration greeted Vulcan upon his return. The entire township, together with the chieftains and emissaries of the other 6 settlements of Nocturne, had gathered to witness the conclusion of the tournament. Inbel was amongst the first to see his son back safely. Though he was not quite the hulk of a man he used to be, the Black Smiter embraced Vulcan fiercely.
"You did it, boy. I knew you would."
He turned, his arms sweeping across the buoyant crowd behind him.
"All of Nocturne hails you."
The shouts of his name echoed loudly in Vulcan's ears. Tribal kings came forward to greet him and bask in his reflected glory. Bellows of affirmation and fealty rang out alongside the vigorous applause of the throng. Only the outlander was still and quiet, his gaze on Vulcan. But there was no judgment, no quarrel in his eyes. He just watched. Banek, the tribal king of Themis, came to the front of the crowd and bowed approvingly at the tournament champion.
"A worthy trophy," he said,
gesturing to the drake scale hide still slung over Vulcan's shoulder.
"You will look noble indeed with it as your mantle."
Vulcan had almost forgotten it was there.
"No,"
he uttered simply.
Banek was nonplussed. "I don't understand."
Vulcan shook his head.
"All of this, your adulation and acclaim, it is undeserved."
He took the hide from his shoulder and presented it to the outlander. Inbel reached out to his son to stop him, but was waved away.
"Vulcan, what are you doing?"
"To sacrifice pride for the sake of a life. That is true nobility."
He met the outlander's gaze and strangely found approval in his fathomless eyes.
"This honor belongs to you, stranger."
"Humility and self-sacrifice go well together, Vulcan," he replied. "You are everything I hoped you would become."
It was not the response Vulcan had expected, not at all. His face creased in confusion.
"Who are you?
Why are you looking at me like that?"
Veras was sitting across from Vulcan, his face half swallowed by the shadows of the command tent. Inside, in the gloom, the Primarch's eyes were burning coals. It gave him an intensity most humans found difficult to look upon. Most humans, apart from the Remembrancer in front of him.
"You don't have a scratch on you."
"Is that unusual?"
"For someone in a war zone, yes."
"You are unscathed."
Vulcan laughed in mild amusement and looked away.
"I am different."
"How?"
He turned to face the insouciant human, his humor deteriorating with his rising annoyance. I am alone? Vulcan's brow furrowed as if he was contemplating a problem to which he couldn't see the solution. He was about to answer when he decided upon a different tack.
You should fear me, human, or at least be intimidated.
Vulcan came forwards and clenched his fist just a hand's width from the Remembrancer's face.
I could crush you for your insolence.
Veras appeared unmoved by the apparent threat. And will you? The angry grimace of Vulcan's face faded, and he backed away to seethe. When he spoke again, his voice was thick and husky.
No.
A strange silence fell between them, with neither man nor Primarch breaking the deadlock. In the end, Vulcan said,
Tell me again what the obelisk looks like.
The searching look on Veras's face disappeared, and he smiled before his eyes narrowed, remembering.
It is not an obelisk as such, but more like an arch, as if it were part of a gate.
He described it in the air with his hands.
See? Do you see, Vulcan?
Yes.
His voice was not as self-assured as he'd intended.
What of the defenders? How would you gauge their strength?
I'm not a warrior, so any tactical appraisal I could provide would likely be of small use.
Try anyway.
I'm curious as to why I'm explaining this to you in person and not one of your captains.
Vulcan growled.
Because they do not possess my patience. Now, the alien's strength.
Veras bowed his head curtly to apologize.
Very well. The Eldar are concentrated in number around the arch. Many more than were protecting the node. I saw witches, too, and more of the reptilian beasts. The quadrupedal ones were the first to hunt us down. Rookeries fill the upper canopy, several times in excess of those I had seen previously. There are larger beasts as well, though I had little time to study them, what with all the running.
More comprehensive than I would have given you credit for, Vulcan conceded.
He shook his head.
I confound you, don't I? Said Veras.
You escape a massacre unharmed and speak of your ordeal as if it were nothing. You address a Primarch like you're speaking to a colleague in your order. Yes, your actions are unusual. There are bodies everywhere, not just soldiers, but some of the natives too.
In the aftermath of the battle, army scouts had discovered even more dead tribespeople who'd been caught in the vicious crossfire. The sight of the slain girl child privately disturbed Vulcan still, and he'd ordered all of the native dead to be treated with the same care and respect as the Legion's own.
War does not discriminate, Veras, said Vulcan. Be mindful of where you are, or it might be you we have to bury next.
She reached you, didn't she?
Who?
The girl. The one killed by the indiscriminate war you mentioned.
Vulcan's face betrayed his discomfort.
These people suffer. She reminded me of that. But how did you...
I saw you glance at her when we were walking to the tent. At least, I assumed it was her that made you avert your eyes.
Veras licked his lips.
You wish to save them, don't you?
Vulcan nodded, seeing no reason to be evasive.
If I can. What kind of liberators would we be if the worlds we bring back to humanity merely burn? What fate for Ibsen, then?
Poor ones, I suppose. But what is Ibsen?
It is this world. Its name.
I thought its designation was 1544.
It is, but
so. You wish to save the people of Ibsen. Is that what you mean?
Ibsen, designation 1544. Yes, I just said that. What difference does it make?
A great deal. What made you change your mind?
Vulcan frowned again.
What do you mean?
He was partially distracted by the sound of voices outside. Veras's intensity never wavered.
What made you think they were a people worthy of salvation?
I didn't at first.
And now?
I don't know.
Discover the answer to that, and your troubled mind will rest easier.
I am not troubled.
Really? I am... Numion, appearing at the entrance to the tent, interrupted Vulcan's reply.
What is it, brother?
Asked the Primarch, masking his irritation.
Ferus Manus has arrived, my lord.
Victory was closer at hand than Vulcan had suspected for the Iron Hands. Only moments after their last council, Ferus had contacted him again, informing him of the Iron Hands' success in the desert. Unlike his brother, Vulcan accepted Ferus's offer of reinforcement after he told him of the second, larger obelisk in the jungle. It seemed to placate the Gorgon's zealous mood greatly, and his earlier wounded pride was salved by the opportunity for his legion to aid the salamanders. Vulcan was sanguine. He had no need to prove himself or his legion.
I'll meet him at once.
Vulcan retrieved his Drake helm from where he'd left it on a side console. He looked back at Verras as he picked it up.
We'll talk again, you and I.
The Remembrancer remained impassive, giving nothing away. I hope so, Vulcan. I sincerely do.